It's Hustler and Lawless.
Substituting for Hustler, Drew Mindell. And substituting for Gary Lawless, Ezra Ginsberg and Richard Collins.
Nah, it's not that it takes two guys to match the sports knowledge and show contributions of Gary Lawless. Truth is, we pay for replacement hosts by the pound.
Yes, friends, with H&L in Pittsburgh preparing for the NHL entry draft, this is a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Radio's answer to the question, how far can you go in the industry with a fair understanding of the game, keen sporting insights, and an uncle on the board of directors. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
Should we be insulted that they used the Looney Tunes theme there at the end?
I'm flattered.
I'm honored. I mean, you two, I think you are. Ezzy, you're becoming more and more like Gary Lawless by the day, I gotta tell you, Ezzy.
I'm still amazed that I was allowed to be on this. I mean, Hustler must know about this, but Lawless must not, because he swore that I would never do an H&L, host an H&L, so... I'm just happy that somehow I was let into the studio and on air.
I'm expecting the trapdoor underneath you to open up at any minute now and just have you fall through. Anyways, good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live at tsn1290.ca, good afternoon, universe, and welcome to a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We have a jam-packed show for you. Coming up in mere moments, Elliot Friedman from CBC's Hockey Night in Canada is going to join us. Following Elliot, Darren Drager from TSN, the TSN Hockey Insider, is going to join us. Coming up at live at 5 to 5 this afternoon, Tom Lynn. He is the former assistant general manager of the Minnesota Wild. He's going to join us. We're going to transition a little bit. We're going to talk some CFL football with our good friend Darren Bombing in the second hour. We might hear from Dan Schulman of TSN if everything works out correctly. And Brian Munns is going to join us sometime in the second hour. So like I said, it will be a busy program. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by my colleagues Richard Pollock and Ezra Lawless.
Hey, I did go for Lawless's Halloween, so
I know, that's why I said you're
you
Ezra
just got
Lawless.
Dressed up in a suit,
and
he wasn't happy about that one either.
I can't imagine why that is.
And held a free press, essentially like the morning ritual that you have at work.
Well, Richie, you both have done Hustler and Lawless before, and you know, Huss is a fan of mine, or I should say, I'm a fan of Huss's. Either way, I don't know, but Lawless wants nothing to do with me.
Can't blame him on that one. I don't want anything to do with you, and I'm stuck with you in studio for hours on end. Never mind that, and I'm going to the Bomber game with you afterwards.
That's right.
That's a lot of game
one of 10.
That's going to be 10 long nights, I got to tell you.
Yep.
10 very long nights. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. The hockey world is draft focused right now. You got your hands up already,
yeah, I mean,
Mr. Richie.
We're 2 days away from the draft right now. Just over 24 hours, just over 48 hours, excuse me, away from the draft. And this is one of the, you know, this weekend, we won't know right away, but this weekend will be a huge factor in how the Jets, you know, proceed moving forward. And in all honesty, I mean, it could go any which way. We have to assume, based on what we've heard, that they're, you know, they're going to stick at 9. And based on what we heard, meaning we haven't heard anything.
Right.
They're going to stick at 9. They're going to do what they did last year. They're going to kind of play it cautious. But you never know. And I think that's what makes it so interesting, is that you don't know. And when you have 30 general managers, and we're going to ask some of the guests about that, on one floor at the same time, we've both, Ezzy and I, both been to the draft, and you get a lot of chatter. And we're going to ask Tom Lynn, like, what actually happens at the table?
Right.
What are people actually, you know, when a GM talks to another general manager on the floor, are they just talking? Are they just chatting about life sometimes? Or is it always business? Because many people think, you know, after that first day at least, the GMs are only really talking about players that they're going to sign or trade for, because they don't really know the prospects. I mean, GM is so busy, he doesn't really know the prospects past number 30.
He relies... Yeah, that's right. You're right. The concept or the idea is that the GM is responsible for that first-round pick. He makes or breaks himself on that first-round pick.
Yes.
But after that, he has to rely heavily on his scouting department. And what his scouts say is, you know, who is your sleeper? Who is this year's Pavel Datsyuk that potentially could give you a hand?
And they don't pay off till later. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist, what, seventh-round pick? You said Datsyuk. What about Zetterberg? There used to be 8, 9 rounds. Now there's 7. So
And Richie, there isn't even, you know, just small trades happening. You go back to, you know, Brian Burke as GM of the Vancouver Canucks trading up to get both Sedins. You look at Parise, you know, when he was drafted by the Devils. So, you know, there's not just small trades. There's blockbuster deals.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show from CBC's Hockey Night in Canada, Elliot Friedman. Elliot, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing well. How about yourself, Elliot?
It is hot. It is 39 degrees in this city.
Well, if you could send some of that weather back westward, it is not hot in Winnipeg, but that 39 is quite warm anyways.
All Scott Oak does is complain when the heat comes the mosquitoes, so I guess it's not too bad.
Well, yeah, that's a separate issue for another day and time, I suppose. We can talk about Scott Oak complaining at later on. But
you need a four-hour show for that.
We can arrange that if need be. The focus in the Winnipeg hockey world lately has been about two guys, Evander Kane and Andrei Pavlik. We want to start with Evander Kane. In your weekly column, 30 Thoughts, one of the best reads for a hockey fan out there, you mentioned that you spoke to some people in different management organizations that said that Evander Kane was not available on the trade market. Given the chatter that you've heard lately, do you expect that to change?
Well, this is, What I heard was, it was, I have like a regular routine that I go through with Hostel where, you know, there's a bunch of guys I get in touch with and speak to, and from there, everything else kind of goes. And, you know, I was talking to, I'd already spoken to a few on Saturday when someone sent me a note saying they heard the rumor about Evander Kane that Renaud Lavoie had tweeted out of Montreal. So I, you know, the last two guys I spoke to, I just said, hey, you know, is there anything to this? Have you guys heard that Evander Kane is out there? And they both said no. And then I texted one of the guys I previously spoke to, and I said, sort of bother you again, but this is what I'm hearing. You know, have you heard this? And they said no. So if Evander Kane is available, these three guys I spoke to hadn't heard it, so either it just hadn't gotten to them yet, or Winnipeg is keeping it pretty quiet. And then the following question was, you know, if he was out there, would you be interested? And they said you absolutely would have to be, because it's hard to find 20-year-old 30-goal scorers in the NHL. So what I think is going on is, you know, hey, everybody knows about all the rumors that happened last year in Winnipeg, and I'm sure that there probably had to be a lengthy conversation after the season in terms of what the organization expects from him and what he expects from the organization. I think that's what they're going through right now. I think if you're the Winnipeg Jets and you struggle to score goals, you're saying to him, look, we're not really that interested in trading you unless the return is enormous. So they probably want to settle and see where everything stands with him before they even go down that road.
Elliot, Evander Kane is obviously not the only player that fans are worried about here in Winnipeg. Andrei Pavlik has been in the media a lot here, not just here, but also across Canada and Toronto specifically. You were the first to speak about Andrei Pavlik possibly getting an offer in the KHL. What are the chances you think that he ends up there? And, you know, as a second part to that question, how much of this could be posturing from Pavlik's agent, Alan Walsh?
My belief is that Andrei Pavlik wants to play in the NHL. I think most good players want that. They want to play against the best. You know, most guys who go to the KHL are either unhappy or they can't find a job that they really want in North America. And the fact is that, I really do believe this, most of the best players want to play against the best players. And I think Andrei Pavlik wants to play in the NHL. And guys who know Pavlik better than I do say that he likes Winnipeg, which is also a very good sign for your city. But I think that he believes that he was the MVP of the team last year, and he wants to be paid as part of that. And now we're in the negotiation. And I would guess that the fact that he had a KHL offer got out because he was not happy with what the Jets initially offered him. And I think that's what it comes down to, guys, is now we're in the dance. And the Winnipeg Jets and Andrei Pavlik are in, like,
the high noon phase where the two gunfighters are circling each other and they're saying, oh, we're sizing each other up and saying, what is really going to happen here? But I do think this. I think that if Pavlik doesn't get an offer he likes, the more likelihood the KHL becomes real. And I think right now it's a bit of a tactic, but I think with a European player especially, if he doesn't get what he thinks is a fair offer from the Jets, the likelihood increases, especially if he believes there's going to be a lockout at the beginning of the next year, that the KHL becomes a factor. That's where I think we are.
Elliot, we've heard a lot about, you know, Jordan Staal possibly be on the market, possibly not being on the market. But if he does end up on the market, do you think that including a player who really did struggle last year in defenseman Paul Martin, it would be the Penguins would make the trade contingent on Paul Martin being included in that trade?
I think that's one possibility. I think it also depends. Like, Paul Martin has a no move or a no trade or some kind of protection. And, you know, he has to agree to be going. And I think there's an article coming out in one of the Pittsburgh papers tomorrow. And because I saw the tweets from one of the Penguins beat writers, Josh Yeo, that it basically paints it as Martin played the playoffs last year with a concussion. He realizes he didn't have a great year, but he wants to stay. So that's going to make it a little bit tougher. You know, I think what could happen is the Penguins could go to Paul Martin and say, would you be interested in going back to Minnesota? And I think it all depends on, does Minnesota get Ryan Suter? Mm-hmm. If they don't, well, they still need help on the blue line. Would they be interested in bringing a hometown boy back? I think that's where we are. They're feeling him out in terms of, Paul, if we were going to trade you, where would you want to go? Now, could Pittsburgh say, if you want Jordan Staal, you got to take Paul Martin? Yes. But Paul Martin's also got to be consulted in that, because what if he doesn't want to go there? And I think that's where the mix is. You have to say, all right, we may want to trade you, but where are you going to want to go? Because the player does have some degree of protection in all of this.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're joined by Elliot Friedman of CBC's Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, Scott Housen and Rick Nash are now back at the forefront. They took the summer off to see if they could, they took the time off after the trade deadline, see if they could get something better done. Do you expect that a deal for Rick Nash will happen at the draft, or do you think it'll maybe depend on waiting out to see who the losers are in the Zach Parise sweepstakes?
Well, the one reason I think it could get done beforehand, the possibility exists that it could get done beforehand, guys, is because we already know who one of the losers in the Zach Parise Derby is, and that's the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. And I think that changed a lot. And I think the Blue Jackets should be sending Zach Parise a gift every Christmas because he came out and said, I'm not going to New York. I think what it comes down to is Scott Housen is adamant he's not going to budge unless he gets what he wants. And I think there are teams now that probably have a pretty good idea as if they really have a shot at Zach Parise or they don't. And one team that doesn't, knows it doesn't, is the New York Rangers, and believe me, they really wanted him. So I don't think it comes down to, can these teams that want scoring but don't think they're getting Parise make a deal with Columbus? And if not, then Columbus will wait. I think there's a lot of teams interested, and I just think it comes down to, does Scott Housen get what he wants? If yes, he makes the deal now. If no, he'll wait another couple weeks at least.
Elliot, the NHL entry draft is about 48 hours away. Do you think we're going to see any teams moving that top five pick for the teams that are in the top five?
I think so. I think there is some interest in moving down. I think Columbus could be persuaded with the right offer to move down. I don't think Edmonton will. It sounds like now they're going to stay where they are. The number one thing you have to do is you can't move down unless you're really convinced that there's a guy you want and you could get him. Now, if there's nobody up there that you're interested in, then by all means, move down. But here's the one thing I always tell people. When I first started out as a reporter, I covered the NBA. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah Thomas was the GM in Toronto. And Isaiah, you know, for everything that's happened to him since, he was great to me as a young guy who was breaking in and was kind of intimidated by him. And the one thing he said to me was, around the draft, everybody lies. And I've never forgotten that, because for the most part, that's true. Everybody does lie. So when people tell me that there's a great player there that they want to get, I'll believe it when they draft him. But I do think that in this particular draft, teams are willing to move down. The question is, can they get the two picks they want to move up? Does somebody want that something that badly? As we stand 48 hours before the draft, I'm not yet convinced that exists.
It's funny, because I think Elliott actually broke the Vince Carter trade down with Golden State, if I recall correctly, way back when.
That is true, and I still believe, and you know, it's so funny, the same night that night, they traded Marcus Camby for Charles Oakley. Yeah. And I had that one cold, too, and I asked somebody, and they said, no, it's not true. And then when it happened, I was like, what the heck? And he said, you didn't ask me the question properly. So that's the way this business goes.
We'll leave you on this one, Elliot. What's the consensus around the league about the Erik Karlsson extension?
You know, I think both Ottawa and the player bent. I don't have a problem with it. You know, people say, well, he didn't get lockout protection. Yes, but he backloaded the deal, so most of the money is at the end of it. And the other thing, too, is there's a real debate, and we don't know right now yet, guys, but there's a real debate as to whether or not there's going to be seven-year contracts in the next CBA. What if they do what the NBA did and they get the ability to cut them off at five? Well, then Erik Karlsson just signed a deal that he may not get as part of the next CBA. I think both sides bent. I think there's, you know, Carlson's probably looking at it and saying, I'm happy. The Senators are looking at it and saying, we didn't have to give up big bonuses, so we're happy. If both sides are happy, and maybe both sides say, we didn't get what we wanted to get, chances are you've made a fair deal for both sides of the deal.
Elliot Friedman, CBC's Hockey Night in Canada, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
All right. I hope my ramblings were okay, and I'm looking forward to the four-hour special on Scott O's complaining.
Thanks, Elliot. Have yourself a good one.
All right. Take care, guys.
Take care. Elliot Friedman from CBC's Hockey Night in Canada. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This is TSN 1290. When we come back, Darren Drager is going to join us. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, this Wednesday afternoon, a special edition of the program. If you like what you're hearing so far, be sure to tune in on our regular time slot, Saturday afternoons from noon to 3 here on TSN 1290. We are trying to get Darren Drager on the line. Hopefully we'll get in touch with him in a couple minutes. Elliot Friedman, just on. If you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Elliot Friedman, just top-notch information there, and some especially relevant to Winnipeg Jets fans as it pertains to Evander Kane and Andre Pavlik.
Absolutely. There's a lot going on with Pavlik. There's a lot going on with Kane, both RFAs. Everybody knew this was coming last summer. And really, those are the two biggest moves that Chevy's going to have to make. I mean, Gary Lawless himself wrote the article today about Pavlik. And, you know, this is a big decision to be made. You know, you have a guy that feels he's worth a certain amount of money and wants a certain amount of years. And obviously there's a bit of a discrepancy between what the player wants and what management wants.
I don't know if Darren's on yet, but Darren just, it's on TSN, reported that Shevelyev met with Kane's representatives. That's Craig Oster, who Drew spoke to on Monday.
Yep.
And dismissed the rumors that Kane was unhappy with the team. Well, I'll just say this. That may or may not be true, but it's in Kevin Cheveldayoff's best interest, even if Evander Kane is unhappy with the team, to not tell anybody that he's unhappy with the team.
Absolutely.
Thereby hurting his, you know, the viability of making a trade. So what these parties say in public isn't necessarily what's happening in private, and Darren's doing a good job reporting that there, but who knows? I mean, if there is any discord, Kevin Cheveldayoff isn't going to say, hey, we're not getting along.
Yeah, this guy's on the market.
He's on the market. I mean, you know, that'd be like what they do in Columbus.
That's, you know, that, exactly, that'd be very true. And that's why Rick Nash's value got driven down significantly.
And, you know, with a guy like Kevin Cheveldayoff, we know, we've had him on, and we're around the team a bit, and he's plays it close to the vest, and he's entitled to do that. But I don't think he's coming out with anything but a message for the fans as much as anything else.
The thing about the Evander Kane stuff is he had no leverage. He has no leverage.
Yeah, he had no leverage, and he continues to have no leverage. He's a RFA with no arbitration rights.
That's right.
I mean, you might as well still be under contract to that team at that point. I mean, we saw the same thing with Zach Bogosian last year.
Mm-hmm.
It went until sort of the middle to the end of August, and push comes to shove, he was there.
And again, guys, what Lawless did point out in his article today, and he's obviously right about this, is that the Pavlik situation is a little bit different because he does have the option of arbitration, but I don't think that's attractive in this case because really
it's not attractive to either side.
Absolutely.
I mean, arbitration, we had Bobby Holik on our program. When Bobby Holik went to arbitration, it turned out very ugly.
Right.
And both sides had hurt feelings there. So, I mean, the Jets don't want arbitration.
The player would prefer the arbitration more than the team, I think, in most cases.
Well, I mean, you wrote a column for the website, illegalcurve.com, talking about Andrei Pavlich's value.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote it, was it about 2 months ago?
Longer than that.
February,
I think.
Seeing what these backup goaltenders have re-signed for, we saw what Vokoun signed for and what Harding signed for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a starting goaltender has maybe increased his value after what had been a depreciation in the market?
No.
No?
No. And what you have there, and you're talking about Vokoun, Drew, and a team that was very unhappy with Fleury's play. Vokoun signed for 2 years, but Vokoun has a significant track record in Nashville and such. We got Darren on the phone?
Yeah, we do.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Darren Drager. Darren, you're a busy man. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, you bet. I'm outside the Console Energy Center, and it is it's about 42 degrees Celsius.
we just had Elliot Friedman on the last segment, and he said he was complaining about the same weather in Toronto, I think. So, apparently it's hot everywhere but Winnipeg.
Yeah, it's hot. I can tell you that much. That's all right. I mean, we're not here to soak in the sun. We're here to follow the trade speculation, obviously taking us into round one of the draft on Friday.
Well, let's start with some trade speculation, and let's start with the aforementioned Toronto. You know, there was a thought that the Maple Leafs lost some leverage when Josh Harding re-signed in Minnesota to compete with Nicholas Backstrom there. You know, what's in the cards for the Maple Leafs in goal, and has the ownership finally being approved? Has that changed anything?
No, I wouldn't say that's changed anything. You're talking about a very stable corporation here. And it was never in jeopardy prior to Rogers and Bell buying the majority of Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. So it's business as usual on the hockey front. Obviously, the Toronto Maple Leafs have something in mind in goal. And maybe it's Roberto Luongo as they try and iron something out there. Or maybe it's the unthinkable, going with James Reimer and Ben Scribbins as their goaltending tandem, assuming hockey starts in the fall, one way or the other. If they wanted Thomas Vokoun, I'm sure they would have found a way to get him. And if they were looking at Josh Harding, perhaps they would have had some dialogue with the group in Minnesota. So they're in a bit of a predicament, but there's a lot of experience with that management team in Toronto, and I'm sure they've got something in the back burner.
Darren, we're just over 48 hours to go before the first round of the draft, and basically everybody wants to know what are the Edmonton Oilers going to do with that first overall pick. What are you hearing regarding the Oilers and the first overall pick?
Well, I swapped text messages with Steve Tambellini a couple of hours ago, and his sense was, again, mid-afternoon, that he was going to hold on to the pick, and the only reason that would be is because there hasn't been anything from the conversations that he's had with other general managers that would sway him to do otherwise. It's still very early. You know, we're Wednesday, and there's several hours between now and Friday prior to them making that selection. So I still think that there's a good chance that there's a team that's going to push to the forefront and make him an offer that's going to make him stop and think. But right now, that offer doesn't exist. And if the draft were today, then the Oilers would be picking first overall.
Darren, what are you hearing about Andrei Pavlik? So you wrote about it on your blog on TSN.ca about Andrei Pavlik. What are you hearing in terms of his negotiations with the Jets, possibility of moving to the KHL for a year, or the possibility of even being traded to another NHL team?
Well, I think you got to look at the likely scenarios, and you cannot exclude playing in the Continental Hockey League as being a likely scenario. He's been offered a big chunk of change. I mean, speculation puts it at upwards of $5.5 million for one season. That's a boatload of money, particularly when you're looking at what could be an interrupted season because of the collective bargaining agreement. I don't see the Winnipeg Jets trading Andrei Pavlik. And there's always that give and take, that back and forth in any negotiation. And because he's a restricted free agent, obviously the Winnipeg Jets maintain his rights. And you know, on that vein, you know, they're entitled to negotiate in any way, shape, or form they choose. But, you know, the agent in this case also has an obligation to make sure that all of the options are put on the table for his client. And his client now has some leverage. Maybe the Jets will call his bluff. Maybe they'll say, all right, you want to go to the Continental Hockey League for a year? Go ahead. But we maintain your rights, and we'll deal with you at a later date. Still a lot of time in this negotiation before there's any sense of direction or finality to the future of Pavlik in Winnipeg.
Bottom of the hour, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're joined by TSN's hockey insider, Darren Drager. Darren, the other name that Winnipeg Jets fans have become apoplectic about is Evander Kane. Over the weekend, there was rumors he didn't want to re-sign in Winnipeg and he wasn't going to negotiate with them. And in the last, say, 48 hours, you know, we spoke with Craig Oster, you know, Gary Lawless did, I'm sure you did yourself. And it sounds like that negotiation is beginning a little to become a little more smooth. How do you see that playing out? Do you think that there's any chance Evander Kane is on the trade market?
No, I don't. And you know, I base that on what I saw today. And what I saw today is Don Meehan, Craig Oster, Kevin Chevalier up in the Winnipeg Jets meeting here in Pittsburgh and beginning the process. This was an introductory meeting. I know they spent some time dispelling the rumor out there and all of the speculation that this guy wants out and all of that. There's no perfect fit for any player. And I don't know that Evander Kane has any issues, real tangible issues with the Winnipeg Jets. I kind of doubt it, given that, as I said, there's been a negotiation here, at least one that's starting. So this is going to take some time. They didn't button down on the hard numbers. I believe that they talked about term. I don't know what the years would be. But again, this is just a starting point, and I'm sure in a couple of weeks from now they'll be closer to, you know, a deal that makes sense for both sides.
Darren, as it stands right now, who do you think the favorite is to sign Ryan Suter?
Well, you know, Nashville still believes they're gonna sign him, and you know, I guess my gut tells me, well, if you're Ryan Suter and you're going to free agency and choosing not to sign with the team that drafted you and has been good to you throughout the years, why wouldn't you sign with that team and avoid free agency? If you're going to free agency, you're doing so because you're wondering if there's a better fit out there. It's not going to be about the term and the money. Nashville has got a willingness to give him whatever the market is going to pay him. So in answer to your question, I'd say Detroit. I'd say the Detroit Red Wings are likely going to be the best fit. I can assure you that the Detroit Red Wings are among the most interested, and you can only imagine how many teams are interested in Ryan Suter.
Darren, final question. How big of an effect do you think that the Devils' financial issues may have on their ability to not only sign Parise but any other free agents?
Yeah, it's not going to help. You know, I mean, New Jersey is a tough sell at best of time, and you know, because of a lot of things, geography being one of them, although there are pockets of New Jersey, as we found out, Hoboken is beautiful, and there are parts around Newark that are very, very nice. But there is instability and uncertainty with ownership in New Jersey. And, you know, again, I didn't mean to disrespect Ryan Suter a second ago. Hey, these players have earned their right to test the free agent waters. That's what unrestricted free agency is all about. And that's no different for Zach Parise, who's had a great start to his career with the New Jersey Devils. You know, some will tell you or speculate that, well, you know, the Devils had an opportunity to extend his contract, and instead they were more consumed with what was going on with Ilya Kovalchuk, etc. I don't know that to be true. What I know is that Zach Parise is a character guy, but like Ryan Suter, he is a hot commodity, the hottest commodity in terms of free agent forward suiting to be available. So the game is a business as well, and he'd be doing himself a disservice if he didn't have a look around the NHL to see what other interested teams are out there.
Darren Drager, TSN's hockey insider, will let you get into some nice air conditioning. Thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
All right, you guys enjoy the draft.
Thanks, Darren. Take care.
Thank you.
Darren Drager, TSN. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 22 minutes until 5 o'clock here Wednesday afternoon. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter, @IllegalCurve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.legalcurve.com.
How did you do that?
With a straight face?
There's a reason Richie's laughing. During the break, I was leaning back, and I just snapped the chair I was sitting in half. Which probably means I should probably get to a gym immediately.
I would say. I think there's a definitely sponsorship opportunity there for you and
just
Weight Watchers.
That was not planned at all.
You got to see the... Oh, my God. Look at that
Do you
chair.
Think TSN 1290 is going to bill me?
I think they should pay for your weight loss surgery is what I think they should do. Anyways, welcome back to the program.
Just snapped in half.
I can't believe I saw that myself. I'm really stunned.
That was embarrassing.
Andre Pavlik and Evander Kane, fortunately, are in better shape than Ezra Ginsberg.
Yeah.
Far better shape, for that matter. And we just had Darren Drager on. Before that, we had Elliot Friedman on, sort of to analyze the rumors that had been floating around about both of them. Do you think Andre Pavlik is legitimately considering going?
Probably not. I don't. Maybe the only possibility I see, and I guess that they're talking about, is the 1 year deal that he will sign if they don't have a contract and there's a hold and there's a lockout. That's the only possibility I see. If there's not a lockout, I don't see him leaving. But I see him holding. You know, if they can't negotiate. You know, I guess arbitration would get in the way of that. But
right.
If they opt to not go to arbitration, which would be odd, then maybe something like that. But I don't see him ending up in the KHL. That would be just an odd decision. I mean, just the quality of everything at the NHL level. That's travel. That's food. That's the way that, you know, that's all completely different over there. And I'd have to think that players are a little bit more
reticent.
Reticent to head over there after what happened and the tragic accident. That has to play in the minds of some of these players, you'd think.
I would think that, yeah, certainly. I mean, we're speaking, of course, the locomotive plane crash from a year ago at this time.
If you read, and we've talked about it on our show on Saturdays before, if you read Eric DeHatchick's book, you know, written through Dave King's year coaching in the KHL, Dave King now with the Phoenix Coyotes, former coach of the Calgary Flames, coach with the Habs, they mentioned in the book, this is years ago, that, you know, Dave King was sometimes found the travel to be very sketchy. And, you know, I think those guys are playing on some of the bigger, you know, richer teams. So you have to think that it's leverage because it's more money. But it's not, and maybe tax-free and all that stuff, but it's not leverage and quality of life. And that has to play a factor here.
Well, we asked it to Elliot Friedman about how much of this do you think is posturing, public posturing from Alan Walsh, who's Andre Pavlik's agent. Alan Walsh is a guy who's been known to, I mean, he's very active on Twitter, he's very active in social media. How much do you think he's just trying to sort of, you know, create a brush fire in order to maybe get the Winnipeg Jets to move off of what had initially been maybe what they, in their perspective, too low of a price?
I think there is definitely some posturing going on, and the level of posturing is up for debate. But, you know, Drew, I'm going to have to agree with Richie. I don't think Pavlik wants to leave, and Elliot Friedman touched on this, you know, at the top of the hour, at the beginning of the show. You know, Pavlik is a fan favorite. He played the most games in his NHL career here. You know, he has said that he enjoys playing in Winnipeg. He's the number one goalie here, and that's very clear.
I think he's overrated by some, though. I do think he's overrated. I think if you're talking $4 to $5 million, I think you're crazy.
I think of $4 to $5 million, Drew, and Marty Brodeur took a discount, you know, Marty Brodeur could have probably got $8 or $9 million, but if Marty Brodeur is making 5.2, it's tough to argue for $4 million. The thing with Pavlik is, I like Pavlik, and I think we all agree he's a very good goaltender. He might have played a little bit too much this year, and I would have liked to see Chris Mason play 5 to 10 more games, but he's not established yet. He hasn't established himself as a excellent or very good even right. number one goaltender. I think nobody will argue that he's good. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
But
and would you say he's got room to improve also?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Okay. He had some bad games this year. He's had some excellent games this year, but he had some bad games. And I'm as big of a Pavlik fan as anybody. I hope the Jets do re-sign him.
It seems in the NHL nowadays, you don't pay for... Especially amongst goaltenders, you don't pay for future talent. You pay for performance in right. the here and now, and you know when you perform, you get paid after the fact.
Maybe some team, yeah, I think that's probably true for the most part.
Especially in the last couple of years, where goaltenders have certainly not as much value placed on them as they did before.
You start talking 4 and 5 with Pavlik, I think that Kevin Cheveldayoff will and should hold strong, because you get into these media battles with the guys like Alan Walsh.
Yep.
They'll curry favor quickly, but logically speaking, it would be foolish to give him, you know, four and up for that long of a duration. You also don't know. His conditioning is an issue in the past, too, Drew.
Yep,
let's not mention that.
No.
Conditioning's been an issue. Sure, he's a superstar here, but let's not get crazy.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll discuss the upcoming NHL entry draft and what the Jets should do with the number 9 overall pick. You're listening to a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Programming note, Friday's first round of the NHL entry draft will be available here on TSN 1290. So wherever you are, tune your radio to this fine station and you can hear from myself, Gary Lawless, Andrew Hustler Patterson, and Brian Munns, who are down in Pittsburgh, and they'll be joining you from Pittsburgh for the rest of the week. We will be on Saturday afternoon, noon to 3. We will do a complete wrap of the NHL's entry draft weekend. And, of course, before us, a special edition of Hustler and Lawless, Saturday morning, live from the draft floor in Pittsburgh. So a busy weekend.
To compare it, of course, to Ezzy being on the studio floor
when he fell off the chair. Exactly. That's right. There's the draft floor in Pittsburgh and the studio floor in Ezzy where he now resides.
For those who are asking on Twitter, I didn't break Lawless's chair. I broke the chair that's in the middle. There's three chairs.
I'm in
here.
Lawless's chair.
Yeah.
Richie's in Lawless's chair.
I'm beginning to think that Ezzy should have been sitting in Lawless's chair. Just throwing that out there, you know, just as a comment. Winnipeg Jets have the 9th overall pick.
Yep.
You know, it's an interesting draft this year. I mean, first of all, I care about the NHL entry draft for almost the first time in last year. I cared about it, but there was so much going on.
You couldn't focus on it. You know, I mean, Mark Scheifele was a quote unquote reach based on the projections.
Yep.
But this year we would know whom the Mark Scheifele is.
Yep.
Last year we didn't.
That's right. When they drafted Mark Scheifele last year, people were like, "Who?" This year you know who everybody is. Any of those top 30 picks, you know who they are. Especially if you listened to last week's Illegal Curve draft preview, which is available on our website. In case you missed it, we did a full comprehensive rundown of the top 60-90 picks in the draft, so you have a good base of knowledge for Friday evening's events.
Craig Button, Drew, sorry to cut you off there quickly. You know, Craig Button said it himself. I mean, there's not really a consensus after number one.
It's true.
Everybody's all over the place.
It's the first time in a long time it's been like that.
Yeah. You see a mock draft, same guy at, you know, 2 or 3 is at 9 or 10.
That's
and
right. The only guy who was consistent... And we laughed about this on our show on Saturday. Yeah. The only guy who was consistent was Tanner Pearson.
Yeah. It was Yakupov at 1.
Yep. What, Yakupov at 1.
And Tanner Pearson at 60.
I think he was 39 and 40.
Sorry, 39, 40, and 40.
Yeah. That's the only one that was... Other than that, it was a complete crapshoot. So it's when the Jets come to number 9, it's going to be two things. One, who's already been taken off the board is going to factor in significantly.
Yep.
And two... It's a draft where I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder may ring true more than in a normal draft.
Richie, I have to believe that, you know, even though we're not, you know, in the draft room, we're not in the war room, quote unquote, with Chevy and Zinger and the Jets scouting staff, I have to believe that it's still best player available. I believe that they've targeted players, but I don't think by any stretch, they're saying we have to draft a center. The fact is, and Craig Button again has said this, we've had him on 3 or 4 times this year, has said that this is a defenseman-heavy draft.
Sure.
So if you've got a Morgan Riley or maybe even a Matt Dumba, I think Dumba's going top 5.
So do I.
But if there's a guy like that available, a Cody Ceci, they might take him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just it. The Jets don't have... You know, they have some good defensemen right now, but they don't have any depth in the system, period. They have a poor system.
Right.
Let's just say that right away. They have a poor system, and a poor system needs an infusion of talent, whether it be in the back end or up front. As long as they don't take a goalie at 9, you should be probably happy with the move they're making.
Because people say, the Jets need a centerman, so, you know, Radim Faxa is a guy that jumps out you know.
And they need a winger.
Radim Faxa may very well be the pick, but the Jets, you know, Radim Faxa or any player the Jets draft for the most part is not going to step...
Radim Faxa or Radim?
I thought it was
Radic.
Radic. Faxa.
Played for Kitchener.
Is not going to jump into the Winnipeg Jets lineup next year.
Exactly.
He's not going to be making a big impact anyway. So you take the best player available.
Right.
Because your organization, I mean, Ed Tate's article in the Winnipeg Free Press last week really spelled it out properly about how poor the Thrashers' draft record had been.
Right.
Combination of not having picks because they've traded them away in foolish trades.
They just bombed a bunch of top 10 picks, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Patrick Stefan. You know,
that was the number one overall pick.
Kari Lehtinen wasn't a good first overall pick either.
Yeah, that wasn't great either.
Yeah.
You know, the question, of course, is whether Bermeistro turns into anything, you know, with the guys around Bogosian. So.
Richie, the fact is the Jets' best prospects, with the exception of Scheifele and Telegan, are on the Jets right now. That's the issue. And Chevy and Zinger and the Winnipeg Jets organization has inherited the Atlanta Thrashers draft pick. So, I mean, we're 1 year into it here. And, you know, 9th overall, you can still get a very good player at 9th overall.
But no guarantee.
There's no guarantees.
Well, I mean, I think, aren't the numbers something like only a quarter of your first round draft picks actually materialize into significant NHLers?
Well, what's the definition of significant?
Well, everybody's got their own definition, but there's a reasonable baseline that you would call
You're not in the top five, so there's no guarantees. So, and if you looked at the past ten, I think it was Remus posted ninth overall picks, about half of them turned into pretty good players, and the other half of them weren't that great.
Well, for every Thomas Hickey fourth overall, you've got an Andrei Kopitar in the mid-first round,
exactly
right?
Exactly right.
So, I mean, you're going to hear this again and again, but it is a crapshoot because you're projecting how a guy is going to be in 2 or 3 years. And that's why you can't get too excited about how Mark Scheifele, for instance, plays in the World Junior Tournament and how that's going to affect him 2 or 3 years down the road. Because he's a boy
right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, and all these draft picks, for the most part, are boys in age, of course, and in physical stature.
So long as you don't take a goalie here, just a matter of best player.
Well, and if they took a goalie here, people would have legitimate reason to...
That's not going
to
happen, I don't think. No. So, I mean, it's a defense-heavy draft. If Philip Forsberg, Yakupov... Is it Galchenyuk? How do you pronounce that?
Galchenyuk.
Yeah. And... Toivonen?
Taravainen.
I don't know my name's right.
Taravainen, yeah.
Those four are off the board. They're probably taking a defenseman. Likely.
Yeah, and that's okay. Because there's a fair number
absolutely.
Of what
appear
to be...
Morgan Rielly, you have Matt Dumba.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Griffin Reinhart.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, Cody Ceci. There's other defensemen there who pop in and out all the time.
Sure, like the TSN, if you go to TSN.ca, they had their mock draft special yesterday.
Yep.
Pierre Maguire and Craig Button, two guys who know a lot about the draft, really broke it down.
Isn't it Bob McKenzie?
No, it was Pierre Maguire and Craig Button.
I mentioned Ryan Murray.
Yeah, well, Ryan Murray, I mean, who lost people might even
after
think
after those guys, you're looking at, obviously you have your Grigorenko wild card. I don't see the Jets taking Grigorenko. I think that would be a little bit more risky than I see them being.
Right.
But talent-wise, obviously, he's top three. I don't see the Jets pulling the trigger on that one, but it's going to be interesting.
Let's leave it there. When we come back on the other side, it is live at 5-5 with Tom Lynn. He's the former assistant general manager of the Minnesota Wild. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.